I'm so glad that you're joining us for Scattered Sunday. So whoever you are, whatever your story or background is, you're welcome to be part of this conversation today. And we're so glad you've joined us for the broadcast. Now, at the beginning or the herald of a new year, don't you think that everybody starts to talk about how great the next year is going to be? That the next year is going to be the best thing yet? In fact, from 2019 to 2020, we shifted to a new decade. So all the conversations I was hearing were around it being the best decade yet, the best time, things are going to be better, they're going to be greater, we're going to have more than ever before. And I don't know about you, but halfway into 2020, I'm kind of getting the feeling that 2020 is no respecter of our thoughts and it's no respecter of our plans. In fact, we've just lived through and are living through probably one of the most significant times of our generation so far. That we're living through a global pandemic. We're living through very challenging times with police brutality around race. Many, many, many things we could list off. Personally, you may be living through a very challenging time. But this has been significant for us and our world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like you just want that to end. You're like, 2020, I'm ready for you to be over. I'm ready to step into a new time, a new year. I want to be post-coronavirus. I want to be post-difficult tensions. We want to live in a world that is more free, where we have vaccines for things, where we have more healthcare, all the things that we could list. And perhaps in your own story, you need a breakthrough of something that you've been living through. A lot of the conversations that I've heard in the past 6 months have been either very future-based or very past-based. So let me give you an example. We've got one foot in the future. We can't wait till all this is over. We can't wait for a different time. Or in the past, I wish it was like it was BC, before coronavirus. I wish life was like it was before all of this happened, before we had lockdown, before all these challenging things happened. And that's normal because as humans, we don't like pain. But I want to suggest to you today that there is something here and now that God has for you here and now, that if we're always trying to live in the future or take a step into the past, that we miss right now in the present. God, whoever you are today, has a plan for you. You may not know him yet. You may not even believe in him yet. But can I tell you, I believe he has a plan for your life. And it's not just a plan for the future or for the past, but it's a plan for here and now. And if we're always fantasizing about the future or reminiscing about the past, we're going to miss exactly what it is God wants to do now. Now, we may feel upset or discontented with our present reality. But you know, the truth is that God is ever present and he's present in this reality, not just in a future or a past context, but in your reality now. You know, in scripture, it says of God that he was, he is, and he is to come. And all that simply means is that he's always been there, he's here now, and he'll be there in the future. So we can walk forwards in confidence. Now, in the New Testament of the Bible, in a book called Philippians, it was a letter that was written by a guy called the Apostle Paul, who was writing to different churches to encourage them and to share some of his story. In Philippians 4, this is what he said. My heart overflows with joy when I think of how you showed your love to me by your financial support of my ministry. For even though you have so little, you still continue to help me at every opportunity. I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be satisfied in every circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. The context that Paul's speaking in is about what he had financially. He was saying he's had a lot of things, he's had nothing, but he's learned to be content. Do you know, we were never meant to be mastered by the external circumstances that were happening around us. Contentment is not found in having your ducks in a row or having the things that you want to happen happen in the time you want them to happen. You know, contentment is a counter-narrative to our culture. Why is it a counter-narrative? Because as humans and in the world we live in, whether we say it or not, we always want more. We always want that bit extra. We always want to be better. We always want to do better. We always want to have better. And at the core of those things, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be out of a season of illness. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be free from a time that you felt has put you into chains. But what Paul is saying here is that contentment is not found in those things coming to pass, but it's found internally. It's found in something else. It's found not in a little or not in a lot, but in an answer that we're going to look at in a minute that he shared. So contentment is counter-narrative to our culture. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like us thinking, well, when I graduate, I'll be in a better situation, I'll feel better. When I meet the right person, things will go well. When I leave the present relationship I'm in, everything will be okay. When I just get that pay rise, when I get that new job, when I get that new house, I'll be a bit better. When I, as a person, am more forgiving and I'm able to cope better with the challenges of life, things will be better. And although those things are all great things and kind of, they don't have a moral value in themselves, what Paul's saying here is that he'd learned the secret of contentment through every season. And during this difficult time we're living in 2020, I want to be content in this season. I don't want to miss here and now what God wants to do in and through me, because I believe God wants to do something in and through you, not in 2 months' time, not just for some of you in the past, but here and now. And as much as our future is bright and there's things we can have hope for, there's something about the present that is a gift that God wants to do here and now. So here's a challenge I want to bring to you. What are you hoping will satisfy you? What are you hoping will satisfy you? Paul in Philippians 4 goes on to give us the answer of his contentment. He says this, "I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty." Another version says that Paul says, "I've learned to be content in all things. I've learned to be content in all seasons, not just having a little or having a lot, but in every season." And then the other version says, "because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So the answer is not getting what we want when we want, having breakthrough just now to be content. But the answer to having contentment and satisfaction is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's in his strength. It's in his power. And I don't know, listening to this, if you're a person of faith or not, but can I tell you the answer is not just in more or different, but it can be now in the person of Jesus Christ who knows you and who loves you. Person of faith, it's not just when you're through a difficult season. Contentment and satisfaction can be now, because it's not in your strength or your power or your ability to feel happy, but it's in a contentment that comes from knowing the Saviour, the one who satisfies our every need and our every desire. Really practically, how can we find contentment here and now? Not in the future, not in the past, but in the times we all live in now. How do we do that? Well, I wanted to ask you a question. What does surrender look like now? You might think, well, what does surrender have to do with being content? You know, when we can surrender the notion that good things are always in a different time, that they're always in the future, or they were always in the past, we leave space for God to infuse his power, as Paul said, Christ infused power with us right now, in our situation now, in our diagnosis now, in our difficulty now, in our sickness now, in our relational struggles now, not in the future. But we have to surrender a notion, because if we're always looking ahead or always looking behind, we miss the very thing that God wants to do now. The thing he wants to say now. The thing perhaps he wants to show you or teach you now. What does gratitude look like? If we're going to find satisfaction and contentment here and now, we've got to begin by accepting that discontentment comes when we neglect and we forget to see who we are now and what we have now. You might not like who you are now. You may be striving for something else. But can I say this? When God looks at you, he loves you as you are now. There's nothing wrong with wanting to change and wanting to become more like him. In fact, that's what he calls us to do as people of faith. But he loves you where you are now. Sometimes we've got to just stop and appreciate and give thanks for what we have now and what he's given to us now and where we are now. Third question is for you if you're a person of faith. What does discipleship look like now, here and now? It's easy to, again, think that our contentment is always found in a plan that we've created for ourselves that we hope will unfold over the course of our life. You know, there is a glorious plan put on your life as a person of faith before you were born. It was a mission, an adventure that you were called into, even before you were aware it was there. And Jesus talks about it in the New Testament in Matthew 28. We call it the Great Commission. And it's simply this: go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded them and baptizing them in the threefold name of God. And so that part about discipleship, sometimes it can be a big word. We can connect it so much just to spiritual disciplines. But simply the best, or one of the best descriptions I've heard of discipleship, is what Jesus would do if he was you. If Jesus was me, what would he do? I've got certain gifts, I've got a certain story, I've got a certain background. How would he reach out to people if he was me? Person of faith, what does discipleship look like now? This is not a personality type. It's not just for particular people you may think are leaders or who have leadership gifting. This is the mission of every person who has a surrendered life to Christ. What does it look like in this season? Because, you know, when you do the thing that Jesus asked us to do, you find contentment there. When we live on mission, we find contentment because we're doing the exact thing we were designed and fashioned to do. As I bring this message to a close today, I just want to bring a little question that challenged me in the last few weeks. I was on a Zoom call, as many of you will have been, and somebody asked this question. For those of us that are a little younger and we'll live to see younger generations come through, they asked this: what did you do, or what will you say you did for the kingdom of God during COVID-19? And it was, to me, a really hard-hitting question. You know, we're doing all the things. We're baking banana bread. We're watching Netflix. We're upskilling. Some of us have been working nonstop, and this hasn't been a break for us at all. But what did you do for the kingdom of God? Did you sit back and wish for a future time or reminisce about the past? Did you hope for a time just when we could get past all this and we could gather together again? Or did you ask God, what is here and now? What are you asking me to do here and now for your kingdom? It might not be a huge idea. It might be a small, small, sacrificial idea. But what is it? What are we going to say that we did for the kingdom of God during COVID-19? If you're not yet a person of faith, I just want to say to you, do you know God loves you right now, here and now, in your brokenness, maybe in your great season? Wherever this finds you, he does not need you to change to love you. He loves you now. But you know, the amazing thing is that when we respond to the love of God, we change because he changes us. He changes every part of us. He celebrates us and he loves us, but his love changes everything. And as I bring this to a close, we're going to spend some time now together, either with our families or the people we're with, discussing this question. What do surrender, gratitude, and discipleship look like here and now?